Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This episode is brought to you by Canadip CBD, a great tasting superior alternative to traditional dip using CBD in a way that is radical, enjoyable, and effective. All flavor, no tobacco, and no nicotine pouches are spit free. It comes in 5 core flavors, wintergreen, mint, citrus, mango, and American spice. It's crafted and manufactured in California, the heart of the cannabis industry. You can find the link to get 20% off in the description of this show.
The Pest Report is sponsored by High and Happy Catering out of Springfield, Massachusetts. Their chef, Michael Best, can cook anything you want with or without being infused with cannabis. Check out some of what they make on their Instagram at High and Happy Catering or call them at 413-785-8999. You'll be happy you did.
Welcome to the Pesky Report, a podcast for Red Sox fans.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Belly Up Sports proudly brings to you its podcast champions of the world! The Iowa Enigma, Hogdale, the always right, never wrong hand, Ed, and I am Brandon Brewer. We're the Pesky Report, and if you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Sock sweep. The Sox just pulled off a sweep at Fenway Park for the first time all season. We cannot be more ecstatic about the fact that a Sox team pulled off a sweep. What's so funny, Hogdale?
I'm suffering. Oh my god, dude! Why'd you have to?
I was not prepared. That's so fucking funny. This team stinks, dude. They stink so bad. God damn it! Why do they have to suck so bad? Please take over.
Oh gosh, they stink, but it's in a very consistent way, and I feel so bad for the rotation because they're keeping the rotation and for the most part the bullpen are keeping teams in games. The offense is not putting games away, and that leaves a lot of room for the bullpen to blow them in safe situations, which has happened. But if I had to pick one factor that's going wrong, it's just the hitting. It's so bad. I can't remember the last time I saw an offense this anemic when the rotation was doing as well as it's been doing.
Yeah, that's very true. The main problem that we've been seeing all season long, really, all, 29 games now, is that this offense, they're allergic to hits. Specifically, they're allergic to hits when they have runners on the bags. This team has been absolutely atrocious with runners in scoring position. I wish I had the stats in front of me. I should have looked it up beforehand, but I didn't because I'm terrible at this job. But I wish I knew how many people were left on base during this last sweep of the Chicago White Sox that happened. And specifically, how many of those were left on base in scoring position? Because that's a stat that's kind of hard to find, is, you know, how many people are on base and stuff. But we leave 8-9 guys on base every game. Like we leave a dozen on base just to stay in shape. And that's a trend from last season that's carried over, in which we hoped definitely wouldn't. Hogdale, what's that stat that you throw out there from time to time about the Red Sox making the playoffs with so many players left on base or whatever?
Yeah, last year, the Boston Red Sox, it was the most baffling thing from that team that made the playoffs and made to the ALCS. They were dead last in hitting with a runner on third base last year. Dead last. They were the worst in the league. It's a real stat. And to piggyback on that point, this year, I don't know if it was Bradford who posted this stat, but this year with runners in scoring position and two outs, the Red Sox are hitting 172. Like, what are we doing? This is a team that is built on the hitting. When the hitting doesn't show up, we lose. It's that simple. People can dogpile on the bullpen, but this team was never, ever built on its pitching strength. It's always been the hitting first and foremost. It's been that way for years.
And what's weird is that the pitching has kept them in games. Even when a pitcher's had a not-so-great start, like Eovaldi the other day gave up 3 runs, but they were in it till the end. They lost 4-2, but they were never at a point where it was like, okay, better put in the backups or anything like that. The offense at no point could get anything going. Yesterday, they were winning 1-0. Hansel Robles gave up a run in the 9th inning, and they ended up losing in the 10th. But how did they only get 1 run there? You know, like, why are they only scoring 1 run a game, and somehow that's on the bullpen for giving up 1 run, you know?
Yeah, the stat that, like, the Red Sox have blown 9 saves this year is a bit deceptive, because I can guarantee you in, like, at least 7 or 8 of those games, it was, like, a 1-run game where the Red Sox scored 1 or 2 runs. I think the only one where they've blown a 3-run save is against the Blue Jays, where that one was a soul crusher. And that was like Springer. But like, other than that, it's like the Red Sox are scoring like 1 or 2 runs a game. Like, I'm sorry. Like, this team, it does need a closer. It definitely does need a closer. Like, that's a valid criticism. But at the same time, you cannot put it all in the bullpen when the bats just aren't showing up.
No, you can look up and down the pitching roster for the Boston Red Sox, and you have some pretty solid ERAs. Nate Eovaldi, a 2.94 ERA. That's not so bad whenever you look and see that he's got 33 2/3 innings pitched this season. Pavetta's has steadily been coming down. He's been performing a little better lately. Of course, he's 0-4 on the season. No run support doesn't help him at all. Garrett Whitlock, 1.25 ERA. Michael Wacha, who is now on the IL, has a 1.38 ERA. He's been absolutely phenomenal this season. And of course, you know, kick us while we're down, send him to the IL. And then guys like Strom has been very reliable out of the bullpen. Sawamura has been decent out of the pen, with the exception of that throw to Verdugo in Baltimore. And Hansel Robles has been pretty solid out of the bullpen. You know, these guys, it's not solely on them. Austin Davis has had a pretty decent little season that he's put together. And it just sucks that these guys that have like a sub-3 ERA all have losses beside their names because the offense isn't scoring anything for them. It's terrible.
Also, you got to love like a guy like Phillips Valdez, who had like 1 bad outing, got like sent to the shadow realm. Meanwhile, Matt Barnes is stinking it up literally every appearance, and this fucking clown like has a position on this roster. Like, what are we doing? Like, we can't be making these mistakes. Like, the bullpen like has the depth to where like, if they had like the high end closer, this would be a great bullpen, because like, you got guys that can take like the 5th through the 7th. You just need that, like, that 8th inning and 9th inning guy. Like, they need the high-end talent. And that's why, like, the biggest mistake I made this offseason is not getting a guy like Kenley Jansen, like a Ryan Zapara, like a Kendall Graveman. That's a bit of a gaffe. Like, trusting that Matt Barnes is going to find his stuff is a bit of a yikes, considering how, like, reprehensibly bad he was in the second half last year. Literally unusable in the postseason. Kept him off the roster. That's how bad he was.
And he has not gotten any better this season. If you remember spring training, he came out, he wasn't that great. He was kind of, you know, question marks going into the season. And then since the season started, Matt Barnes is 0-3 with a 7.84 ERA. He has one save out of two save opportunities, and he has given up more hits and more runs than he has innings pitched.
Yeah, not good. Honestly, ERA under 10 for him is impressive. Good job, Matt. You did it.
This is a guy that a lot of people still stand by saying he should be the closer, but it's starting to be more gradual that more and more people are seeing what our one of our co-hosts, Ryan Brady, has been saying all along, is that this dude needs to be sent off to the moon. So applause for Ryan Brady for being the first one to publicly come out and say how much this guy sucks.
Well, the problem with that is that Brady was saying that even when he was like making the All-Star team and having a really good first couple months. It's yeah, he's right at this point. But you know, I think that there's a reason there's been a little bit of a gradual run there. He's been with the team for a while. He was very good in the 2018 run. He was very good for the team the first 2 months last year, which honestly, Barnes is the only reason that they were as strong as they were at the beginning of the year last year. And the issue has more been to me, and I don't know if this is a Bloom thing or a Cora thing, but it seems like it's a Cora thing because Cora did this with Brazier and it worked where, you know, he's struggling at the beginning of the year. DFA'sher, you know, and the lad Cora started using him in the seventh inning with leads or in close games, and he's been fine. He has been fine when he starts the inning by on his own. I got to see him pitch yesterday at Fenway, and he looked like a serviceable seventh inning guy. So it works in cases like that. It's weird that Barnes isn't on the IL to me. And I think that you can say like, oh, well, they can't make up a fake injury. But yes, he's dropped 5 miles. Well, he's also dropped 5 miles on his fastball. Who's going to say that you're making something up when that's happened? There's clearly something that's physically different. So I don't, I think that there's that degree of Cora being like, listen, Matt, I believe in you, but it's been like clockwork with this guy. He just can't consistently get guys out the way that you need someone in those situations. And, it, you know, it's like, why are you using him in the top of the 10th inning in a tie game?
Yeah,
like,
no shit.
It's just like, oh, Jose Abreu's coming up. Well, this game's over.
Yeah.
And while we're on the conversation about management, Cora has not used this bullpen very effectively at all, in my opinion. Like, bringing Strom out there to get one out when he's been one of your more reliable guys, why not leave him out there to get four outs? Let him get a whole inning, a clean inning. Don't just bring him out there to bail you out of a situation. Leave him out there for that next clean inning. He's more than capable of getting four outs in a game. He's been lights out for the better part of the season so far. Why not give him that opportunity? I just think Cora's not really doing the best job at managing this bullpen. And while we're speaking of Cora, sounds like he's going to be saying goodbye to the beautiful gray locks that he's been growing on his face.
It's a bummer. It had to be done, but it's a bummer. Because like he does look really good with a beard, but it's the beard's fault, Alex. That they were didn't have the beard, and now you have the beard and they suck. Baseball.
We made this happen, right? Like, you guys will recall last week we were on the show, we came up with the ransom note that demanded that he shave the beard.
He said that, like, people have been asking for it. It's like, you know, I didn't know Alex Cora watched the Pesky Report. Hey, Alex, you know, we love you here. But, you know, it's nothing personal. Thank you for shaving the beard.
Now go win a few ball games because there are no runs in that beard, sir. No runs at all, and it's got to go. Ed, let's talk a little bit about your experience at Fenway Park. Of course, you did get to go to this Saturday game, and tell us what you thought.
Well, I thought that my seats were awesome. I got a friend of mine. His boss has season tickets and will occasionally give them to them to my friend, and he asked if I wanted to come, so you know, haven't been all year. The seats were club seats, so you can see everything pretty fantastically. You're kind of like above, you're very close to where like the announcers are. You're like a floor below them, but like you're above everybody else. So you really, it's just, it's a view unlike any other I've had attending a game. So that was cool. It was cold, very cold out, so I kind of kept on going inside when the Red Sox were pitching for a couple minutes, like warming my hands, then coming back out. Honestly, it was a fun game for the first eight innings. Pivetta looked great, didn't walk anybody, struck out eight, seemed to really be in control the entire game. The offense just I don't think like fire him to the sun. It's a terrible contract or anything. But Trevor Story's getting his first taste of what it's like playing in a northeastern city. And it's you can tell he's pressing, and you can tell that he really doesn't like having to explain to everybody why he's sucking every day. Which I get, but you can see it rubbing off a little bit and how he's like.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Getting pissed off at umpires for calls that have been pretty consistent the entire day. He got caught looking, I think, got his first two at-bats on pitches that were pretty, they seemed like they were outside strikes. And if they weren't, at least from my angle, the ump had been calling them the entire day. So, like, the first time, fine. The second time, you need to be protecting, dude. So, you know, it's not a great look. He made a pretty careless error that didn't end up costing anything other than having to pull Schreiber for Strom a little earlier than I think they would have liked. So that was a story I'm a little down on right now. I was looking forward to seeing how we do this year. You know, first big contract we've really seen the team under this regime kind of make. And you know, so far hasn't been a hit. That certainly could change, but he's definitely struggling. But you know,
on Twitter, you said that Trevor Mendoza was whiny.
Trevor Mendoza was whiny. Yeah, he seemed whiny to me. I think that would be a term.
He doesn't get his true last name until he's over the Mendoza line.
Is he still under the Mendoza line?
192 right now.
Gosh. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's I go back and forth with it because on one hand, it's like, dude, stop whining about the balls and strikes. And like it hasn't been a good look with a lot of things for him since he got here. But I don't know. I don't know the guy. I would like him to succeed. I don't want to start making like, you know, like he isn't trying or he doesn't care. He just seems frustrated.
And I can definitely understand being frustrated, you know, whenever you go 0-for-4 in a game and you start hearing the boo birds come out. And then after the game, people are like, oh, he didn't make himself available to the media. What a loser. But then there's reports that he was going off to the hitting cages with JD Martinez, who has actually been pretty good this season, all things considered. Then you hear him coming out the next game, he hits a double. Maybe things are going to work out. Then the next game after that, 0-for-4 again with three strikeouts. Like it's a very up and down thing. He doesn't look very good at the plate. He looks lost. Sure, he's had a lot of bad calls against, or not bad calls, but close calls against him. And I don't think that he was ready for this season. He had such a weird offseason, not knowing what team he was going to be on. Then he gets to spring training, and then his wife has their child. He has to miss some more time in spring training, comes back. He's probably not getting much sleep at home with the new child. Then he's, you know, going on the road. He's getting booed at home, and it's been a lot. That being said, he is a professional. He should have been able to handle a little more of this. And until he gets above that Mendoza line, Trevor Mendoza is the name.
Listen, it can be rough for guys playing in Boston, especially since like this dude playing Colorado. Like, it's just the attention from media and fans just ain't the same. Like Trevor Story, like even in the average season for him, if he could just play, he just needs to be himself. Like, he just needs to like be his average self. I think he can do it. I really think he's going to do it eventually.
And I know it's tough for him right now, but what I would tell him is, like, listen, man, like, I know, like, the fan base seems ruthless right now. They're booing you. As soon as you have a smidge of success, you're going to feel like a fucking god here. Like, you just got to play like yourself. You can do it. And I'm telling you, like, you'll love this fan base as soon as you do literally anything right. And it's tough for fans. Of course they're going to boo him because he gets this big contract and he's never done anything for this franchise specifically. Like, for a guy like JD, when he really struggles, like, he ain't going to get booed unless he struggles for, like, a month or two, like, in a row. Like, it's not going to happen. Like, those guys have built up goodwill because we've seen them do it. Like, Trevor Story just hasn't done it here yet. So, like, yeah, the fan reaction is going to be a bit rough.
Yeah. Even with JD, he could have a rough month or two and people will still be like, well, we still had 2018.
Yep.
We still had him win a Silver Slugger as a DH and as an outfielder in the same season, even though he only played outfield like six games. So yeah. It is what it is. He's done stuff in Boston. To your point, Trevor Story has yet to do literally anything in Boston. So it's a rough road, but I think that's part of the reason why people love Verdugo so much is because he's been an instant impact player since coming to the Red Sox. He has made an impact on offense and defense. Even though he's struggling now, he's not getting the same treatment as Trevor Mendoza.
Well, he has the aptitude. Like, he knows how to handle, like, the fans here. He's great with the fans, great with the media. So, like, the people who, like, criticize him all the time, we just kind of see them as losers because, like, how do you not like this guy? Like, what are you talking about?
That's another thing. Just as far as I think that Verdugo's pressing harder than anybody else on the team. Just you watch this guy bat, like how he's stepping into the batter's box, and like you don't see this on the TV, but he just looks pissed off going up there, and not in the like I'm gonna make them pay kind of way, in the like my life is hell kind of way. So I would like, and you can kind of see it just in how he's being a little overly aggressive. He's trying to do too much with too little instead of just kind of going out. And he's always been his best when he's not thinking about it. He's not somebody that, at least right now, you can really like put the whole expectations of the fandom on his back. Not a lot of players can do that anywhere. Would be great to see him calm down a bit. Xander seems kind of mad about, I don't know if it's just like everything right now, but he just seems to not be particularly happy with anything. Devers seems apoplectic. I mean, and he's hitting. That's the other thing. I think he went like 3-for-3 today or something. He hit a done RBI double yesterday. Like, he's hitting. Ball's definitely dead. There's definitely something off with it. There were a few things that I thought were like, at the very least, going to hit the monster and just were like easy outs. And there was some wind, but like, I don't know. Did you guys see that one that Franchi hit that like looked like he had hit like 500 feet and it just kind of died in right field?
Yep. Yep.
I think it was a home run in like 23 of the 30 ballparks in MLB, according to Wood It Dong. That it sucks. And especially at a ballpark like Fenway, where you kind of have like a little bit of an edge down there on that right field side. And then all of a sudden it's like, nope, it's going to be far as I'll get out. So
yeah,
it sucks.
Dude, I hate the fucking dead ball. It's so infuriating. Did you see the Dodgers announcer where like, it was really funny. Like it was like a hit in the deep center and like, it looked like off the bat, clearly gone. And like, that's a hit to deep center field and give me a break. And it was an out. It's just, yeah, offensive numbers way down across the league. Bring back the juice ball, MLB, you frauds. I hate all of you.
And then you've got the epic calls from the New York Yankees broadcast who yes. calls everything a home run and none of them leave the ballpark. And then we had JD Martinez today with the Red Sox trailing 3-2. And he hit one that I thought was an absolute blast and it just scraped the wall for a double. The dead ball does suck. But Ed, you mentioned Xander Bogaerts being unhappy. What do you think about the alleged rumors that a friend of his is saying that he wants out? He's ready to leave Boston. He's ready to just pack on up, go be a free agent, and get a boatload of money.
I mean, I saw it looked like the friend from the photos that I've seen was just that was just Scott Boras wearing a fake mustache and like a fake nose. No, I mean, I don't know. I have a hard time this early in the season kind of believing that, like, specifically Fran did that. I think that it's pretty obvious that that is the direction that things are moving in. But I don't know. It just seems kind of like just unnecessary drama. And I think Xander's way too smart to set that up right now. Because, like, what would the point be? Like, the team doing well doesn't really benefit him, you know? Yeah. But if he puts up, you know, if he puts up more counting stats, that's going to make teams want him more. So I don't know. It certainly fits with the narrative that's going on right now. I wouldn't be surprised, but I also doesn't really make too much of a difference to me.
Dude, I genuinely don't care about any of this contract stuff until like the season's over. Like I'll worry about it when it's worth worrying about. Like, oh, wow, fucking Xander's, like, friend, Billy down the street said that, you know, he wants out. Okay, sure, dude. Okay, Scott, no one cares. Like, shut up.
Yeah.
We get it. He's going to want a lot of money, dude. Like, we know. And that's the biggest effect of story, like, not hitting, is, like, when Xander does end up walking. It's going to hurt a hell of a lot more if he doesn't get it together. Because I really do think they're probably going to let him walk.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very, very possible situation, especially with the depth that has been built in the minor league system, specifically Marcel Meyer coming up in a few years. You're not going to want to extend extend Xander Bogaerts for a huge extension while you also have Trevor Mendoza sitting there, and while you also have Marcel Meyer coming up in the system. It makes sense to let him go, but Rafi Devers is a guy that you absolutely can't let go at this point. Speaking of people down in the farm system, I see Ryan Fitzgerald is doing the thing. He has 8 home runs in 26 games this year. How long until this guy is getting the rumblings of a calling up? Because with that way the outfield is playing, the way that like some other players, this guy can play infield, he can play outfield, plug him in pretty much anywhere, and he's going to go and be a ball player. He's swinging a hot bat. I know he's a lefty, so it's not really any kind of upgrade over the situation that we have with Verdugo and JBJ both being lefties, but would you rather see him in there or JBJ on a daily basis?
Should I go first on this one?
Sure.
Yeah. The concern with Fitzgerald, from what I can tell, is that his strikeout rate is still like 31%. And as well as he's doing AAA, it is against AAA pitching. And there's a big, big gap between AAA pitching and big league pitching. So I think they want to see him make a little more contact before they bring him up, which I do understand. Because if you bring him up and he goes like 0 for 11 or something, like people are just going to be, you know, shoot him to the moon, quadruple A, that sort of thing.
Yeah. You know what's funny about JBJ is that, like, everyone's been shitting on him because, like, oh, Renfro, look at Renfro's start to the season. Oh, look at his start. And if you look at their R-War, they're the same player. One is all offense and one is all defense.
JBJ is an anomaly because you just watch this guy in right field and he just makes the entire defense better just by being there. The guys that just like, oh, it got hit to right field, I'm not going to try to score here, even on something that like anybody else, like he's just so good defensively that you almost, you know, like, yes, would I like him to be hitting 220, 230 and that, then yes, but you're saying that you're okay with somebody in right field starting for you if he's hitting below average. So he doesn't need to do that much to get up there. And he's, you know, he's hitting a ton of doubles for a guy that isn't hitting. I think he has like 9 doubles or 7 doubles or something like that on the year, which, you know, doesn't do much for the 190 batting average or whatever it is. But I think that there's some hope there.
JBJ right now has 8 doubles.
8 doubles, okay.
He's 202, so he is above the Mendoza line.
Which is all he has to do.
He gets to keep his name, Jackie Bradley Jr. His on-base percentage is .264, and his slugging is just a tick under .300. So he's actually not been that terrible offensively as you know, putting it on Red Sox standards.
Yeah.
yeah.
Jackie Bradley is not the reason the team's offense is totally anemic. He's done – what he was expected to do. I don't think that Jackie has failed to live up to expectations. I think there are a lot of other people that have failed to live up to expectations. Granted, he had a lower bar than others, but, you know.
Well, let's talk about one of those guys that is failing to live up to every expectation, and that's Bobby Dalbec. And you said on Twitter that you've never seen a player that looks quite as lost as Bobby Dalbec. And can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Oh, God. I mean, just, you can tell on the TV, just look at his face when he's batting. He doesn't want to be there. He looks this, like, mixture of terrified and frustrated that I can only compare to what it was like when I was 19 and played in a wood bat league against some kids that could throw like 90 miles an hour because, oh gosh. He just looks like he doesn't want to be there, and he'll get up like 3-0 on a count and then somehow strike out, or he'll be up with runners on second and third. And all he has to do, it's a fast runner on third. All he has to do is hit it a little bit into the outfield. And he strikes out looking. He doesn't even try to protect. He's always been a streaky hitter, but this is just like, even when he's getting hits, they're like these little dinky opposite field things. He's not hitting anything with authority. I don't think you're doing him any favors keeping him up in the majors at this point. I think actually one of the positives that I had on the game yesterday is Franchi looks like a new man. He's, I think, only struck out once. He's waiting for his pitch. And when he swings, he's getting pretty decent contact on it. He flew out to two strikeouts. Sorry about that. He flew out to right on something that probably would have been a home run last year. And he had that broken bat single, which I don't think he would have done that a year ago. He waited for his pitch and he just got a good piece of it. And the guy can hit it very hard. So if he gets a good piece on it, if he continues with that contact rate, good things are going to happen. I see no reason not to just start Franchi against righties at this point and, you know, maybe use Arroyo at first against lefties or send down Bobby and bring up like Fitzgerald. You could bring up, it's another, the problem there is that you lose the right-handed bat. So maybe you have to bring up Jalen Davis or someone like that.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But they're not doing any favors keeping Bobby on the team right now. He looks like a little kid.
And I said it last week that if I'm the manager, Franchi is my first base one position. He's my everyday first baseman. And Bobby is just in there against lefties at this point. And I mean, it can be argued that he doesn't even need to be in there against lefties.
He needs reps to fix it. That's the problem. He needs to get in there and not look like he wants to be anywhere else. You know, he's definitely letting the pitchers take control of the at-bats, not the other way around. He's swinging at bad pitches. He's missing pitches that, like, he was just swinging and missing at like 89 mile an hour fastballs from Dallas Keuchel tonight. It was really hard to watch. And, you know, he seems like a good guy. There's a reason people like him so much. But he's not performing. Like, being a good guy isn't going to win you games. And it's more, you know, it's Cora trying to show his guys that he's loyal to them. But, and this, and I mean, we can go back to roster construction here. I think this was a big whiff on Bloom's part, was not getting a more established or more MLB ready bat to back up as a platoon with Dalbec. Because Travis Shaw wasn't it, and anybody could see it. There was no bat speed. And you'd think that he could have, like a Mitch Moreland, or who could at least help you with the glove, or just somebody to platoon with him. I think Shaw would have just they need. You could have even just started Franchi in the majors there, and then at least Franchi's got a little bit more of a jump start. It's just it's kind of inexcusable.
Now we have a comment from Barry coming in saying, "My concern is that sending Bobby down might destroy the last bit of confidence that he has." It could be argued that he doesn't even have any of that confidence, and sending him down, like, it's going to be hard to even get him plugged into the lineup there because you have Tristan Cassis who plays first base there.
You can put him at third base.
You can put him at third base. Yeah, that's fine. But that's not getting him reps defensively as a first baseman, which is where you use him at the big league level. So you're getting him at bats, but then he's losing the glove that he's been working so hard to develop. So he's kind of a man without an island right now. And unfortunately, he doesn't have any trade value whatsoever because of his performance at the big league level. This guy, it's not looking good for Bobby D.
One other thing you could do with Bobby at AAA is stick him in left field and kind of teach him that position. Maybe he can figure it out there. That's the other thing that you can do there is just switch positions entirely for him, give him a little more versatility. That adds a little bit more value to him if he can do it.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I'm just going to say this team so desperately needs Tristan Cassis to be ready to go. Like, at your first base position, I hate to be that guy. They really need Cassis to hit and, like, be that prospect when he does end up coming up. Because, like, at your first base position, you're expecting a good chunk of your offense to come from first base. Like, you should have, like, a 30-homer guy there. Or, like, at least if he can't hit 30 homers, like, at least a guy that hits, like, 300. Like,
dead ball right now, 20 home runs might be the new 30.
Yeah, honestly, you're not wrong. That's the thing is, like, first base, like, on the MLB level, it's like – that's an offensive position. Like, you should have one of your better offensive players, like your top five offensive players should always be like a first baseman in there. Like, they really need Cassis to be that guy. Like, when he comes up, they desperately need it.
Yeah. And, you know, to that point, Cassis in AAA, of course, has hit 5 bombs.
He hit one today.
Effortless six power. Now.
Six. So, and he's got a batting average hovering around 260, and he's slugging 475. So he's doing the thing with runners in scoring position. So,
well, I think some of it is also he's taking pitches, and the team's looking a little bit better. They're having better at bats, but they're still not having successful at bats. If that makes sense, it's not like that game against Gausman where he threw like 60 pitches going into the eighth inning or whatever it was. But you know, their counts are going full more often. They're drawing walks a little bit more. So that's promising. But that's also something that Cassis is just really good at. Like, he has a very good knowledge of the strike zone, and he doesn't really swing at things that aren't in it. So I think that, you know, maybe I'm talking myself into this. Maybe a 22-year-old isn't going to be the guy who in his first time coming up saves the season. But I mean, is it going to be any worse than what we've seen so far out of first base?
No, I highly doubt it.
Although I don't want to get too hard on Franchi because he has looked kind of good at his first.
Oh, he's looked way better than last year. He's a different person.
Yeah, to that point, Cassis has 18 walks to 28 strikeouts. The highest walk total on the big league club is Kike, who has 10. Of course, he missed a couple games for COVID and all that stuff, but 10. And he's had 18. So, he's definitely being a little more patient at the plate than any of the big league hitters right now.
Especially, like, when you're, like, a slugger like Cassis. That's just so rare. Like, a guy with his pure power, like, just natural, effortless power, just has that kind of plate discipline. God, I'll be so excited for whenever he ends up coming up, dude. He's going to be so good.
Yeah, I can agree with that. He's very, very talented.
He's pretty fucking good. Can I just say, by the way, this is a kind of a silver lining. If this team can just get their shit together and, like, have the offense play at even, like, a mediocre level, like, the bullpen and pitching depth in general has reinforcements coming. Josh Taylor's going to come back. What's his name? James Paxton's going to be here. Chris Sale will eventually, at some point, presumably, will come back.
Yeah, later than sooner, though. I mean, I don't know if you
heard later than sooner because of the setback.
Like, there were setbacks for all three of those guys.
Like, if you could just, like, get to the trade deadline and, like, get back to 500,
Like, this team has the talent, and that's what's so baffling. This team has the talent, and they just aren't delivering. It's not like this team is, like, talentless and has, like, no one there. Like, they just live up to your potential, guys. Jesus.
Yeah. But again, I put this on – it's hard to put this on the pitching, and that's – it's going to get worse for the pitching as they get overused and as they get tired. But right now, you know, you can get by with what you have in the pen if you can figure out – you just need to one guy to fall into the closer role, you know? Hauk or give Strom a chance or something like that. I actually think that the guys that have recently – been brought up from AAA, Danish and especially Schreiber have looked pretty good. And so these are setup guys, though, potentially. You just need somebody to fall into the closer role and you're in much better shape. But, you know, if Waka's down now and they're using Hauk in the rotation, I don't know. I almost feel like it would be better to bring up Siebold or Winkowski to take the number five starter spot and use Hauk and just say you're the closer.
Yeah, I've heard Siebold's looked like a completely different pitcher this year. Like,
he's doing well. Yeah, he does. I still don't think that he's anything. He's going to be anything more than like a number four or a number five at the big league level. But yeah, his changeup's looking a lot better. And he's pitching extremely well. I think his ERA is, I'd have to look it up, but his ERA is very low. Let me just get that up right now.
Yeah, because I saw him last year. I saw his first career start.
Oh, it was not good.
It was not good. It was some mediocre stuff.
Okay, so right now, Connor Siebold, over 27.2 innings. He's 3-0 with a 1.63 ERA. He has walked six people, struck out 23. Opponents are batting 173 off of him. And he has a 0.83 whip. So, yeah, he's doing – that's five starts, but it's an encouraging five starts.
I like that. I like the idea of bringing him up to fill that fifth starter spot and then move Hauk to be the closer. Strom can be the eighth inning guy. And then you've got a pretty solid back end there. You can put Robles in where needed. And you can throw Matt Barnes to the moon.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Why is Barnes pitching any inning that isn't mop-up right now? You know, if you're going to keep him on the roster for whatever reason – he shouldn't be working 1-1 in the 10th inning. There's just it boggles my mind that's been something that hit him just working in close games so consistently.
Yeah, that's the thing about Cora. He's never been good at managing the bullpen, but one thing he does do is, and he's done this consistently and it has worked, is he loves his guys. Like, he has his guys and, like, okay, I trust you no matter what, no matter how many times you have burned me, I trust you. Like, it worked with Josh Taylor last year. It started to work now with Ryan Brazier this year. But it ain't going to work with Matt Barnes, dude. It just isn't.
I think Barnes is hurt, and that's where trust and belief and loyalty. You can have all the confidence in someone, and they can believe in themselves, but if you can't physically throw the ball as hard as you need to, it's not going to help.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like Matt Barnes, like when he was electric, like when he was like that dude last year, his fastball was sitting 95, 96, and he had supreme confidence in it. Because that fastball sets up everything that he does. It makes his curveball 10 times better.
He sucks now.
Yeah.
True.
So when are we going to start hearing the rumblings of guys like Bray and Bello getting called up to come in and pitch? Because guys like that are turning our heads and our ears are perking up whenever we're hearing, oh, he's throwing no-nos down in the minor league level.
Can we talk about that for a second? Because that was it was a really cool no-no also, because it wasn't a shutout. they won it. It was a seven-inning no-no, so also a little bit less impressive. But a no-hitter is a no-hitter. Seven innings, it's hard to do. He didn't give up any hits. There was an error. He walked three guys. One run scored. But holy smokes is that kid shoving right now. He's not even the best guy on that staff, which is the craziest part, at least statistically. That goes to Brandon Walter. But Bello, I think, has a 1.95 ERA right now. Let me just double-check that. Yeah, 22 years old, 1.95 ERA over 27.2 innings. Opponents are batting 135 against him. 37 strikeouts, 0.87 whip. And I think the thing that's the most promising is that prior to this year, scouts were saying that they weren't sure if he was going to be a starter or a reliever. they're saying he's going to be a starter now, and he's in the he's also a consensus top 100 prospect in baseball. So Red Sox haven't developed a good pitcher in a long time, but he's definitely one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, that's definitely one to keep an eye on. But you said a no-hitter is a no-hitter. Madison Bumgarner threw a 7-inning no-hitter against the Braves back in, what was it, last year or the year before, and it was deemed not a no-hitter because it was only a 7-inning game. So apparently MLB says not all no-hitters are created equal.
Yeah, well, DeVern's hand sack threw a 5-inning perfect game, and I consider that a perfect game. So in my heart, it's a no-hitter.
God, did you all see that that embarrassing thing with Madison Bumgarner earlier this week? The ump. Can we touch on that for a second and just how fucking baffling that is and how that ump should never work another Diamondbacks game again?
Please take us through what happened there, because I saw the video with no commentary and I'm still not entirely sure what happened.
So what happened is like, okay, so earlier in the game, by the way, this is in the first inning. So like Mad Bum earlier, like, you know, gave the ump a bit of the business, like the home plate guy, like, hey, that should have been a strike. And like, he's walking off the field. It's like I think it's the first base umpire. And the dude goes through the substance check, as you do, except this dude, okay, he's holding his hand and he's just staring daggers into Mad Bum's face. Like, he's just like staring at him like this. Yeah, he's got the picture on screen and he's like gently caressing his hand, like as he's doing it, like not actually doing the check, pretty much goading Mad Bum into doing anything so he has an excuse to throw him out. Like, just completely fucking unprofessional.
What, like, is that in look he's giving him, though? That's like so intense,
dude. It is. If someone looked at you like that, like on the street, and like was like 2 feet away from your face while doing that, while like caressing your hand, you'd beat the shit out of him. Like, I'm sorry, like, that's a power tripping ump. You're a loser. He should be suspended. Like, if MLB wants to call itself a serious professional sport, that cannot be allowed. It can't be allowed. It's just unacceptable.
Madison Bumgarner should have just looked at him and been like, do I owe you money or something? Why are you staring at me like this?
God, I want to get Mad Bum's exact quote, because what he said was actually really funny.
Mad Bum just seems like a fascinating human being. I know my favorite fact about him is that he dated a girl named Madison Bumgarner when he was in high school.
That's really funny, actually.
Yeah, that's my, like, how does, like, that has to be intentional. Like, hey, we have the same name.
Imagine if they had gotten married and then had a child and also named the child Madison Bumgarner.
I mean, do you call them Madison Bumgarner Jr., or are they the third at that point? Because technically they're the third one.
That's a good point. See, these are the type of questions and answers we try to deliver here at the Pesky Report. The things that everybody scratches their head and really wonders, that's what we try to discuss.
Oh, here's what Mad Bum said. I said, if you want to play this little piggy, go down to the fucking minors where there are kids.
That's pretty great. That is pretty great.
And yeah, the ump ejected him. By the way, Mad Bum has had a really, really good start to his year. And like, they ejected like their starter in the first inning. Just unacceptable. Like, what the fuck? What are we doing here, guys? Like, this is allowed? How is he not suspended? Like, at least for like a few weeks.
Or just what did the ump say about it?
I don't even, like, because after the game, I don't think he said anything. He's like, I just wrote, in the report that I sent to the MLB, you know, the player said something that was ejection worthy. Yeah, you were staring daggers into his face and goading him, you fucking loser. Jesus. Unserious league. Just unserious.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
You know, the officiating paired with the dead ball, it just really makes Major League Baseball hard to watch right now. Every other game, you see umpires blowing calls and left and right, and it's the older guys that tend to have the biggest problem. I think we were sharing around the screenshot not too long ago of the two young pitchers that were like, or umpires that were like in their mid 30s, like 36 years old guys. And they were had like 98% accuracy on their calls. But then you look around and you see guys like Angel Hernandez that they struggle to get 80% accuracy on their calls. And that's accepted and normal in the league. And then you've got guys like this guy that ejected Mad Bum, where he was trying to start something, trying to get something going, just so that he could be shared around in memes, just so that he could be viral for a few minutes. It's crap. It's all crap.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to have that kind of job security. That'd be pretty cool. I guess maybe it's like, well, it's baseball, and their best players in baseball are good 3 out of 10 times. So I guess the umpire is good 3 out of 10 times. That's a good rate, right? It's consistency.
Woo. Yeah.
No, I don't like it.
No, because it's batshit crazy. It's a terrible idea.
I tried to be like, well, maybe, you know, he is the always right, never wrong hand, but you're wrong on this one.
No, I'm being totally facetious. It's terrible. It's terrible umpiring, and it's like, I don't want there to be robot umps, but it's hard to feel like these guys are reliable when they're missing calls like this. Constantly, consistently.
Yep. Officiating stinks. This team stinks. Everything stinks right now. It's hard to be a Red Sox fan right now. Like, I've even found myself being like, I don't really want to wear my Red Sox hat out of the house. I'll throw on the jumbo shrimp hat when I go out. I'll throw on the Tennessee Volunteers baseball hat when I go out of the house, because pretty good. Not ashamed to wear those right now. Right now, it's almost like I want to put the garbage bag over my head. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's exactly right. Like,
Yeah, there's a meme being shown right now of the guy pretending he's going to fall out the window and then drinking bleach and then shooting himself and spraying aerosol. He's got a flamethrower. Oh, he's making a flamethrower now, and he's laughing a lot. So.
It's my favorite video. It's just pretending to kill yourself.
Could you, like, make a mimicking one of this, but it's only the bleach hog deal? Because I just associate with you saying that you're going to drink bleach.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite hyperboles. Is like, yeah, this team makes me want to drink bleach. But chug it.
That's, you know, bad. What's keeping me kind of from going off the deep end right now, just as far as like just pure baseball misery? And it's two things. And one is that I think back to February when it was like, we're not getting a season until July at the earliest.
Yeah.
And as painful as this has been, and I'm sure there are people who are going to say that they wish that they didn't have baseball, I'm still glad we have baseball right there. The other thing is the minor leagues are still going on. There's some good stuff going on with the Sox right now. Now, we talked about Bello a little bit and his no-hitter. And fun fact there, though, earlier in that day, it was a doubleheader. Game one of that doubleheader, Brandon Walter struck out 10 and I think walked his first guy in like 28 innings and just absolutely shut down whatever double A team they were playing. I believe he was also named the league's top pitcher for the month of April, which, you know, I think he had an ERA of like 0.92 or something like that. And didn't walk anybody. So, you know, that'll happen. And then on Greenville, there's a guy that has not gotten a lot of hype, who at least prior to the game today had hit 4 home runs in 4 games. And that is a man with a really excellent name, Nick Northcutt. Now, if you guys,
very good name.
Have you guys heard much about Northcutt?
I have not.
So he's a 22-year-old corner infielder. Didn't really get a lot of attention. He did hit pretty okay last year at Salem. 261, 352, 513 slash line, 17 homers. And he got off to a slow start this year. But in his last, like really just before May started, I got to check the game logs, but the month of May, he's slashing .320 with a .346 on base percentage and a .920 slugging percentage. He has hit 5 home runs this month over 25 at bats.
Wow.
13 home runs. Four of those have been in consecutive games. Yesterday, he hit a grand slam. And if we're going even a little bit further back from that, he's hit, hang on. Okay, that's 3, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So in his last 10 games, he's hit 8 home runs.
Pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. That's pretty good. Now that's high A. That's really where the pitching gets a bit more advanced is double A. That's where you're going to see better breaking stuff. But 22 years old and that kind of power, I mean, he definitely just popped up on people's radars. He's leading the organization at home runs, and it's not particularly close. Like by comparison, I think Fitzy has the next highest amount of homers, and he's an 8.
Nice.
And like that's the type of thing that you can't teach at 22 years of age, being able to have that kind of pop, that kind of power. And he's doing it at a professional level, albeit at the high A level. It won't be long until he's up at the double A level and we'll really start to see him mature as a hitter. And then, you know, Nick Northcutt is the name that people are going to remember. That's a superhero name right there.
Yeah.
And I for one will be excited to have that jersey hanging up on my wall behind me.
I don't think there's been a name as cool as that since Seth Schwindenhammer. If you got anybody remembers him, I don't know if I'm dating myself with that one.
Solid name.
Little Spinners had some great names between that, and they had Eddie Money, who I really liked. Like that was actually it was like Freddie Money. Sorry, Freddie Money. And they'd always play the Eddie Money song when he batted. Yeah, they've had some good names there. But yeah, those are, I guess if I have to pick another minor league guy, I mean, the whole Sea Dogs pitching staff is pitching really well, but Chris Murphy, who's 11th on the Sox prospect 60 right now, hasn't gotten quite as much attention, even though he was their opener. His last game, he did give up 3 runs, but they were all unearned. And in 6 innings, he struck out 10 people. So, you know, that's pretty solid. On the season, now I'm just getting his stats up here because he's 23 years old and left-handed. From what I've seen with the scouting reports, they're not sure if he's going to be able to consistently throw enough strikes to stay a starter. He might end up being one of these bulk hitting guys. But at least for right now, he has a 2.10 ERA over 30 innings. He struck out 38 batters. He's got a whip of exactly 1.00. So, you know, having a pretty good year. Yeah, it's been he's another interesting guy to watch. There are some good pitchers on that Portland Sea Dogs team.
Yeah, I mean, so at least we do have other things happening in the world of baseball that have been enjoyable, because being a Red Sox fan has been terrible. As we have talked about, that team stinks. But the farm system, good. We have a lot of players that are in the farm system, pretty good. We have former legends of the Boston Red Sox that have now gone on to be real Americans at the Savannah Bananas. Johnny Gomes toting the American flag out there. Pretty epic to see him out there doing his thing. That is such a fun team to watch. I love seeing like all the little videos that come up on Twitter of the Bananas. They do some pretty funny things. I would love to go see one of their games live.
Yeah, I was describing that to my dad earlier today, and I was like, yeah, you ever think that you ever want to see the Harlem Globetrotters play baseball? Because that's basically it.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, because they don't really take it serious, but then they go out there and some of them are legit ballers, you know what I'm saying? So it is cool to see. We're looking for any kind of positive notes here to end out our episode, because we haven't really had too much from the Red Sox. One positive note that I have is that I'm killing it in fantasy baseball this year.
Love to hear it.
I've developed an absolute winning strategy. And if you need a spot pitcher just to get over your innings hump, or to try to lower that ERA or the whip that you have, or whatever it is that you're trying to do for pitching stats, pick whoever is the starting pitcher against the Boston Red Sox, because he will be perfect for about 5 innings. And it's true. Guaranteed to lower your ERA, guaranteed to give you some innings, and you know, you're not going to get hit around either. So it's perfect.
True. Very good point.
Very
good,
Yeah, that's the best like daily fantasy like betting advice you could get like on DraftKings. You should have taken like Dallas Keuchel today. Easy.
Who's pitching against the Red Sox? Well, this guy's never pitched before, and he has a 7.13 ERA in AAA. Oh, it's Red Sox. Okay, you know he's starting.
Oh, he's gonna give you 7 scoreless, 10 Ks. Just gonna shove.
He's gonna come out there and have a Cy Young type performance in one game against the Boston Red Sox. Their lackluster offense that was touted so highly going into the season.
It I mean, maybe we were, people were just wrong. You know, I think that it's interesting because there are a lot of people on Twitter, and I'm sure you guys have seen this, that they just want Bloom's head now. But there are also a good amount of people that have pointed out that the way that this team is designed, these haven't been go for it years. I think the first real year that they have to start actually going for it is next year. And I give that's sort of my leash right now with Bloom is, you know, next year they have to be competitive. They have to sign more than just Trevor Story in the offseason. You can't just sign hidden value guys. You have to sign guys that are going to help you win immediately. And that's sort of where I'm at with that right now. And anything we get out of I think last year they kind of accidentally fell into a really good team. This year, the reverse luck is happening. So anything that they can get to help for next year is bonus. Next year is the really important one, though. And the next year is where, if it goes badly, you're going to be seeing heads roll.
Oh, yeah. I think,
That's a good point, Ed. I think you're absolutely right. They are kind of at a weird situation where last year they fluked up and ended up 2 games short of the World Series, and that was kind of Red Sox fans coming into this season were like, well, it's World Series or bust now. And then signing guys like Trevor Mendoza to come in there and be that stopgap because we clearly needed a second baseman, and then he's going to come out there and absolutely suck to start the season and it's just been so bad. It's been very bad this year, and people are already down on it. But if things don't happen next year, and they have to make the big move and the big decision to extend Rafael Devers to a long term, because that's a guy that you absolutely cannot let walk.
Well, it's a no-brainer. Like, there's literally zero reason not to give Rafael Devers an extension. I mean, he's even shown strides of improvement at defense this year, like significant strides. So, I mean, there's literally zero reason not to pay him. He's the perfect age where, like, even if you gave him a 12-year deal, I don't bat an eye. Because, like, as a DH and, like, late in his career, he'll provide so much value still as a hitter. Because, like he's already, like, good enough now. But imagine, like, how good his plate discipline will be in a decade, like, when he's gotten, like, that much time, like, just being around the league. Like, It's a no-brainer. Like, just give him the extension. If this season keeps going into a tailspin, make the good aspect of it that you gave Rafael Devers a bajillion dollars.
Yeah, I think that it shows that the team is building towards something, that the people that are currently on it are going to be a part of it as well. I think that just saying, like, oh, well, we're going to replace everybody with guys that we have in the minors probably isn't No. We're talking about morale. It's not a good look for a lot of the people in the organization. So I would like to see Devers get the extension. Yeah.
And morale is down on this team. It's down across the board on our podcast platform. And I'm sure all of you that are listening and tuned in, morale is down with you as well, because this has been a stinker of a season. It's been hard to get on board, but we do appreciate everyone that has watched us, everyone that's downloaded the podcast, everyone that continues to support the Pesky Report. Do you guys have anything else you want to add before we bounce out of here today?
Go Sox, kid.
Yeah, go Sox.
This team fucking blows. Go Sox.
Play better.
This team stinks. Guys, we thank you for tuning in today, and we hope to have a much more positive episode next week. But on the bright side, Sox sweep.
Thanks for watching. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Pesky Report. Make sure to like, subscribe, and leave a review.
thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.